Was the Isle of Heather. The album is called A Scottish Island. And it says William Jackson, but it sounded like a woman, so don't ask me. Hello, and welcome to The Kay Cole Show. My name is Julie Mullen. I'll be with you from 11 through to 12 today, and this is 102.5 FM. Thank you to all our lovely listeners in the Totnes and Dartington area. Thank you for tuning in, and a big thumbs up to Chris and Lucinda over at the studio. This is our last one of the season, so we've been going for a few weeks, and we're going to have August off, me and Sarah Louise Connolly. So she has been our roving reporter, doing a fine and outstanding job interviewing the thrilling people of the South Hams area, really. We've had a great time listening to her stories evolve with these individuals. And today we have a stunner. We have Annie Bowie from our local gallery. And yes, well, it will all be revealed. Also on the programme today, we have actor Heather Jackson, who is currently appearing at in the West End, at the Coliseum, I believe, in My Fair Lady. So if you've ever wanted to know how it feels to be in a West End production, then Heather is the gal to ask. We've got Martin Seeger later, and talking to him about string quartets, about the music he has very kindly allowed us to use on the monologue, which I have to say, I sent Heather this monologue about, I don't know, 5 days ago, something like that, maybe four. And I know she's incredibly busy with her job on the West End, My Fair Lady. So I wasn't really, I thought, I don't know if she'll have time to do this. But she sent it to me, and I'm absolutely thrilled. And Martin has very kindly put the music to it. So we'll be listening to that too. She's done a grand job, is all I'm going to say. So let's have a little bit of, I think we have to have On the Street Where You Live, don't you?
When she mentioned how her aunt bit off the spoon, she completely done me in. And my heart went on a journey to the moon when she told about her father and the gin. And I never saw more enchanting farce than the moment when she shouted, "Move your bloomin'."
Yes, sir?
Is Miss Doolittle in?
Whom shall I say is calling?
Freddie Eynsford Hill. Oh, if she doesn't remember who I am, tell her I'm the chap who was sniggering at her.
Yes, sir.
And will you give her these?
Yes, sir. Wouldn't you like to come in, sir? They're having dinner, but you may wait in the hall.
No, no, thank you. I want a drink in the street where she lives.
I have often walked down this street before, but the pavement always stayed beneath my feet before. All at once am I several stories high, knowing I'm on the street where you live. Are there lilac trees in the heart of town? Can you hear a lark in any other part of town? Does enchantment pour out of every door? No, it's just on the street where you live. And oh, the towering feeling, just to know somehow you are near. The overpowering feeling that any second you may suddenly appear. People stop and stare, they don't bother me, for there's nowhere else on earth that I would rather be. Let the time go by, I won't care if I can be here on the street where you.
My word, on the street where you live, as sung by Bill Shirley from My Fair Lady. So I'm just so excited. I feel like theatre is coursing through my veins. Big up to Danielle McLiven. We went to a pint and a play yesterday at the Barrel House. It was superb. Thank you to all the fabulous cast members. It was a completely sold out full house. And what a thrill, because, you know, obviously we have the Playgoers and Annie Bowie is connected with that. She's directed with them. She's on the committee. I'm sure she'll tell you all, probably not in this interview, but because it's about art, this one. But how fabulous to have literally on our doorstep, on the street where we live, theatre. And I think I'm revving up to speaking with our fantastic actor Heather Jackson today, because I was just, as that song was playing out, I was thinking, oh my God, I've just remembered it was my dream to be in a musical in the West End. Now, I never fulfilled it, so I'm going to have to live vicariously through Heather and our interview at 11:20 this morning. Now, getting back to the monologue that I was talking about, you see, living in a creative household, we'll hear more about that, what happens in their creative household over in London. But in this one, with Martin Seeger, composer and lyricist, writer, he often sets me a bit of a task. He'll say, oh, go on, go and write another monologue. He's probably just trying to get rid of me, to be honest, because I'm a pest. So when he's trying to play the piano, oh, go and write a monologue, get away. So I did. And this one's really unusual. I don't know where it came from. It felt like, I don't know, it just sort of landed. Let me find Heather doing this piece for us. And as I say, Martin has written music for a string quartet, which he very kindly has allowed us to use. So here it goes. This is called Entrapment, as performed by Heather Jackson.
What on earth? I'm in my clothes. I didn't go to bed fully dressed. Someone must have attended. Who on earth? It can't be Wilbur. He's off. And anyway, he wouldn't dress me, for Lord's sake. Ugh, mouth like a belch camp. Florence eyelashed. Deadhead whispers. Heaven and sediment. Quizzical. I will do Wordle. That always helps everything. Scathing cat of letters, but who cares? What on earth? I said full clothes, with hilarity, but an heirloom, no less. Thatcher's biker pants. Honestly, who would have reckoned on Daddy getting those at an auction? But this is even more ludicrous, because they reside in the cabinet downstairs for all to see, and now on me, Lady Puss. This is ridicule and suspicion wrapped in one garnet ring on cluster. Wordle, Wordle, this will cure me. Wordle is a bitch, do you agree? Heaven in all my saints, I can't imagine what I've done with my phone. Squabble, oh, squabble, bed cover. Bed covers, oh, there's the rat. I only say rat because I find it hard to find this phone, often so elusive. Quiver, quiver, righteous. Right, bed down, Wordle. No, heaven's stretch, I must attend this fush in my mouth. God be a sparrow, what a fush. Stupid phone, wait now. Right, to the bathroom for the task of Luke C. Oh, dear, dear, muddle face, what a fetch stench. This isn't God's work, this is hell's heathen. You won't see me, for I am beyond your recognising, but let me tell you this. Someone has sent a tear down Jerker's face. Luminous, stumping eyes and lips full of silver. Will anyone be my ledge? Fuddle jumpers, best clean this sorry face of mine. I only remember bedding down the Susan and telling the Bellamy to watch his step. Frightening opening statement from Cumberpants. But that's typical of Cumberpants. Oh, Jem, those teeth. Oh, that breath. Right, to clean. Feel fit in her pants, Thatcher. Fubby Valley, that's how she was known to her clan. Daddy told me that. I didn't actually like the woman. Oh, nothing political, just her blue suits and all. Oh, the hair donkey. Do I really look like her? So they say, haughty dibble funks. My tits are much bigger and giggly. She was a toot in a sandwich. Clean the face. Push the hushkins up. Right as rain. Oh, stretch of imagination. It's Sunday. Holy St. Peter's up a rat hole. It's 11 and Mass is calling me. But I am a woman not fit for Mass. Actually, to be honest, I'm not even fit for Wordle. Right, think pants, think mouth like a looting station. I have hot pressed tea. I surely have hot pressed tea. Every Sunday it's there like a saint, waiting with crumpet and Savile Row jelly, asking for a tip, why don't you? Oh, crazy pants. Ah, there she blows tea. Right on street, outside door. Hair, oh, holy St. Francis, Thatcher's bonnet. Somebody... I've got it. Someone. Someone horrible and husky has set me off in bed, my bloody boudoir, to giggle pants themselves to sleep, seeing me as the Iron Lady. Formidable crap pants. I will show them. Hang on. Tea. It's clear. Sunlight, daylight, midnight, fright night. Look me in the mirror and shine my inner. What on earth? Someone silky in Shoreditch has left me a note. A note, indeed, from a friend. Dear Antonia, if you will insist on pretending that you are completely in the right as far as Geoffrey is concerned and your loquacious tutorials, we all had no choice in putting Heaven's Firmament in your glass before bed brandy. Do take this seriously, because you were putty in our hands, and we can do it again, and you will lack the common support of your fellows. If you wish to stay alive and well, I suggest you drop the case. Drop the case? Indeed. Signed by a nobody. I slither to understand who at my dining table would mishnish with oracle protocol and deal a dash to me, Antonia de Pizzorita, no less of noble standing for olives and constancy bidding. I am the eyelashes of Jane Austen, the disciples of Jesus, the pity of a Magdalen, poet squall and scubber, done, Pope Wordsworth. Shatter those illusions and pitter on the diplomacy lead. I will, in full pants and hair, go to church, to the chapel, all square and forth-eyed, to dispel the consequence of feathers and veritable squalid cesspits. Or will I just do Wordle?
Jackson, you are a marvel, and Martin Seeger, amazing music. Thank you both so much for joining me in Entrapment. So you are listening to 102.5 FM. I'm Julie Mullen. It's the K Cole Show. I think we need a little bit of a sort of get us in the mood for My Fair Lady. How about I've Grown Accustomed to Her Face, and then we'll get Heather Jackson on the blower. She's in London. Annie Bowie's coming on after that. And our lovely roving reporter, Sarah Louise Connolly, will be interviewing her. And then we'll have Martin Seeger. So it's a full house. Oh, my God. Let's get I've Grown Accustomed to Her Face, Martin.
I've grown accustomed to her face. She almost makes the day begin. I've grown accustomed to the tune that she whistles night and noon. Her smiles, her frowns, her ups, her downs are second nature to me now. Like breathing out and breathing in. I was serenely independent and content before we met. Surely I could always be that way again. I've grown accustomed to her looks, accustomed to her voice, accustomed to her face. Marry Freddy. What an infantile idea. What a heartless, wicked, brainless...
Mr. Rex Harrison. Jeez. Oh, my God, that's given me goosebumps. I could listen to that music forever and ever and ever. It's just absolutely marvellous. But it's time to get Heather on the blower, who's in the West End. Not right now, she's at home. Let's call her.
Hello,
Heather Jackson. Welcome to the programme, 102.5 FM Sound Art Radio in little old Devon. We are so happy and delighted and over the moon. Rex Harrison even did a jiggle when he was singing I've Grown Accustomed to Your Face. Here we are. You just did me proud, my girl. I don't know how you did. Now, listen, I've been involved in acting a long time, so has Martin. On a different side of it. But we both said, how did she do that? It didn't even sound like her, as if this was an astonishing thing. You're an actor. Of course you can do that. Actually, I don't know how you coped with that monologue, but you did it beautifully, and thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. It was such good fun to do. It was such good fun. And I, you know, when I started working on it, and I thought, oh my God, how does all this link up? And then as you read it and read it, you go, oh yes, of course, of course. Of course that's where our brain is going. So it made complete sense to me by the time I'd recorded it, I think.
Well, you're an absolute genius. And then the sound effects. I mean, obviously we did the bell, you know, because we had that in stock. We had a bell in stock. How on earth, yes. that gargling that you did, it was hysterical. It was, I don't know.
All set up, everything round about me, so I could pour my tea and gargle with me with my mouthwash and stuff.
It was absolutely perfecto. Actually, Heather, because you have, you know, we put that out there, I suddenly thought, well, you must have done loads of radio drama, because you are so, you know, absolutely at ease with this. Have you? Have you done much radio?
No.
Well, you ought to.
I haven't done any radio.
Well, I'm sending that to BBC Radio Drama and saying, put this woman on immediately. now, I wanted to ask you about My Fair Lady. I honestly felt quite emotional as I was playing a couple of the songs mm-hmm. from the show, because I suddenly thought, oh my God, I was five. I looked up into the you know, the sky, and I thought, I want to be a musical, and I never was. I want to be in the West End. And I thought, well, Heather Jackson is doing it, and I'm going to have to put my little ballet shoes on and just listen to how it feels. Tell me how it feels. I know you've done many shows in the West End. This is just another one, but is it another one? Is it something you long to be in, or how does it fit with you?
Previously, I haven't done many shows in the West End. I've done one, which was Phantom of the Opera, but that was for 9 years. So it felt like many shows because yes. there were many different casts.
Yeah.
So that was my West End before. But it's 13 years since I've been in the West End. And
wow.
to come back and be in such a wonderfully lush production of My Fair Lady with a fantastic director, Bart Scher, who even as an understudy, he gives you permission to invent your own character rather
wow.
than just go in the tram lines of the person that you are covering. So he's just been fantastic and such an inspiration. Gareth Valentine, who's a wonderful MD, and Alex Parker, who's the assistant MD, they are just, I mean, they're there with you every step of the way. And associate director David Seberg and everyone. And of course, as everyone will probably understand now, because of COVID and because of the restrictions on theatre,
mm-hmm.
it's been really difficult keeping shows on, because although the restrictions kind of nationwide have eased, within theatre, we are still, to begin with, we were testing every day for doing our lateral flow tests every day. If anyone tested positive, you had to stay off until you got a negative test.
Gosh, okay.
Some people had to be off for 10 days before they got a negative test. So it's the understudies and the swings that have kept all the West End shows going. And I'm in such a privileged position to be understudying Dame Vanessa Redgrave.
Wow.
And unfortunately for Dame Vanessa, she did get COVID and had to go off. And so I have played the part quite a number of times in this season at the Coliseum. So being back in the West End is wonderful, but it's even more special because of what our industry has gone through and the world has gone through the last couple of years with COVID.
Absolutely.
And it's a wonderful production, and I can't enthuse enough about the company because our producers have really looked after us well. Playful are the sort of boots on the ground as producers go. They are the ones that look after us day to day, and they've been fantastic and so understanding and supportive. But also the company itself, I've never met such a bunch of caring, talented, gorgeous people. So I'm just thrilled.
Wow, Heather, it sounds absolutely magic. I mean, I have to ask you, because it's also the other side of the thrill, are the wigs and the costumes and the kind of stepping on stage, and particularly, as you say, you've stepped in the shoes of Dame Vanessa Redgrave. Mm. How absolutely magnificent is that? How does it feel? Ooh, in those wigs, those costumes, those...
Yeah, I mean, the costumes, when I was doing my my ensemble plot, which was, you know, I was in all the different scenes, but as different characters. So I was a maid, and I was an ascot, and I was an opera goer at the beginning, and then a flower girl. And so I had, so many costumes, couldn't count them all, wow. So many wigs. I had 13 costume changes in that plot, of which was challenging, to say the least, yeah. But great. Great fun and lovely, wonderful dressers and wig people that are there to do everything that you need and get you back on stage in time. And they are, it's like a pit stop on a Grand Prix race, yeah. Where you run into the wings and someone's there to do everything for you and then push you back on stage. Yeah. But as going on for Dame Vanessa, yes, I mean, the costumes, all the costumes and wigs are lavish, but I must say my Mrs. Higgins wig, I just love her. She's an entity on her own, actually. She's just so beautiful. I also get to share a couple of the things. There's the coat and ascot, and there's a lovely velvet sort of overcoat for the ball scene that I share with Vanessa. And I never, ever thought I'd be wearing the actual same costume as Vanessa Redgrave. So I was a bit gobsmacked when they said, oh, you'll be sharing this with Vanessa. And I thought, oh my goodness, really? So and they're beautiful. They're beautifully made, and they're just gorgeous. So yes, and the hats are huge. And it's amazing that they can get them to stay on your head. But the wig, lovely wig people who put them on, make sure they're nice and secure so they don't fall off mid-scene.
It's complicated, yeah, isn't it? My goodness. But you also had a lot of comment about the times that you have stepped into the shoes of Dame Vanessa. In fact, people have thought that you were Vanessa Redgrave. So how absolutely magnificent is that? Oh, my God. I just got goosebumps saying the words.
Yes, I was a friend in the show. I don't do Twitter. I do a bit of Facebook, but that's it. And a friend in the show who is the understudy Higgins, Paul, he sent me this tweet that had been put out to Dame Vanessa saying how wonderful the show was and how the Dame shone above the younger cast members, and they didn't realise it was me. So I thought, well, either they think Dame Vanessa has had some wonderful work done because I'm almost 30 years younger than her, or I'm looking a bit older than my years.
Not at
but
all.
Whatever way round it was, I'm happy to take the compliment.
Absolutely. God, what a compliment. Now, what's it like in your creative household on the day to day? Because you have Pat, your husband, who's an actor, and you have your wonderful son, Sean, who's a composer and lyricist. Mm. Is that right? So what's the hustle and bustle like where everyone's going off in different... And you've got the dog, Floyd. My goodness.
Oh, yes, we've got Floyd, who's just had grass seed removed from his ear. Oh. Poor boy. Horrible thing at the moment. Oh. Floyd is fine. He's just lying on the floor sleeping. He takes it all in his stride.
Excellent.
Sean is currently playing piano through in his bedroom, and he's doing some orchestrating and copywriting for a composer. Brilliant. At the moment.
Wow.
And he doesn't do lyrics, he just does the music.
Okay.
But he's very happy in his little music bubble.
I bet.
He also works front of house at Matilda the musical, so he's working half the week there. Yeah.
Okay.
So he knows theatre from both sides, which is lovely. And Pat is currently down in the garden office with his work partner Dave, and they are kind of working to get work and rehearsing, and so it's all a bit manic. And now that I'm out 6 days a week with the show and also rehearsing most of the time for understudy runs and things, it's all a bit mad. So it's a complete contrast to COVID times when we were all hothoused in here together and doing our separate things in separate rooms. Now we're all out and about doing stuff. Yeah.
And who makes the breakfast then? Is it taking it in turn?
We just do our own. When whoever's up first gets the kettle on, and that's where it starts. Yes.
Well, I am honestly, I'm bowing down at your feet because I think that you are tremendous. I mean it, Heather Jackson. Not only stepping into Dame Vanessa's shoes, but also being sent a crazy monologue and fulfilling it in the way in which you did. Really, seriously, blown away by your gifts and talent. And I mean it when I say BBC Radio Drama and some, all of these people out there where you can get fantastic jobs, they need to know about you. So thank you so much for being on the programme today. And honestly, you've made my day completely, 100%. And you are a star, Heather Jackson. Thank you for being on the programme today.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Take good care now.
Okay, bye.
The wonderful Heather Jackson. Let's have a little bit more of My Fair Lady. Here we go. Oh, I think it's coming. Yes, a bit more sound. Lady, the other one wanted to come on. Now it's time for Sarah Louise Connolly, isn't it? Come on, this is our final one of the season. She has been so absolutely brilliant, bringing these very fabulous, dynamic guests on our programme. And today we have Annie Bowie. Take it away.
Yeah, you put the coffee, you put the beans up in the grinder. You put the beans, goddammit, in the grinder. You put the beans in the grinder. You pop the beans up inside the grinder. You grind it up, and then you put a little grounds in the filter. You put the coffee down in the filter, and then you put the filter up in the top of the coffee maker. Gotta get that drip, gotta drip, 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 a drip, a drip, a drip, drip, drip. Got to drip, a drip, a drip, drip, drip. Gotta drip, baby, drip. Then you put it in your cup.
Right, this is the last Raving Reporter interview until September, folks. We're going to make it a good one. Break out the good biscuits. I'm here in the heart of Totnes with Annie Bowie. Good morning, Annie.
Good morning.
Now, you own the Bowie Gallery here at the top of the High Street.
Yes, I do.
Have you always been involved in art?
In the arts, probably, not art as in sense of 2D painting and so on, which is what this is about.
Yeah, because I heard a rumour. Did you teach drama at one point?
I used to be head of drama at Keswick for about 20-odd years.
Wow, fantastic.
But actually also when I was there, I kick-started the running of the Aerial Centre that when it was first done, and there we established a gallery. In that first 2 years, when I was working on a day a week to run it without any support at all, some volunteers,
single-handedly,
kids
yeah.
for volunteers, we posted about 45 exhibitions in those first 2 years.
Fantastic! And was that how that you then came on to do the gallery up here?
Yes, it gave me an idea for my what's now called an exit strategy from teaching.
So how long has the Bowie Gallery been here now?
Since 2008.
A long time. And so I was going to ask you what made you choose Totnes, but obviously, because you could, of course, gone to Dartmouth, which has got quite a sort of cluster of galleries.
Yes.
But did you consciously decide Totnes after the Aerial Centre that was...
No. I had in my head that I was leaving teaching, which I was, and I came up with the notion of a company called Art Spaces, which is what I started. And the idea of Art Spaces was that art was placed in venues other than conventional galleries. So effectively, art rental for businesses, bars, hospitals, and so on.
Really clever. And then could they change
yes,
that? Yes,
they used to
right,
change
yeah.
the art about every the art collections about three times a year, and they just paid a very small monthly fee. And when I started that business, I started, because it's not massive sales when you do something like that for the artist, I decided to run a series of what are now called pop-up galleries. So every now and again, I'd take an empty space for a month or 6 weeks or sometimes a bit longer and be in there and concentrate on selling the artist's work. So that gave balance to the project. And I decided the last thing I ever wanted to do was run an art gallery because it was so boring. And I had galleries in Ashburton and all sorts of places. We had one called the Louvre, L-O-O-V, because
Very
it was right
good.
Next to the Louvre
in
Ashburton.
Ashburton.
And then one day I came past here, I live here, and I saw that this space was coming up for rent, as it happened. And I thought, oh, I could actually run the Art Spaces office from there and run a gallery at the same time. So that's what
one.
I did.
Yeah. What have you got currently on display? What's the current exhibition?
So it's a solo exhibition, which we've just extended. So there are a few other artist pieces up now. But the first 10 days or so was only this. And she's called Kate Trafelli. She's an American-British artist. Based in London, who's just come back from 10 years
Beautiful
in Italy.
Colours.
Yeah, they're amazing, especially the giants. They're really fabulous paintings. So she's not shown in Devon before, and we're very pleased to be giving her a go. We haven't sold many, but we sold some of her work, yeah.
Was she showing her work in Italy?
She's shown her work in Italy in lots of different places,
wow.
And she shows in London at a gallery called the After Nine Gallery. NYNE9.
And you extended this because you had the dreaded Lurgy, didn't you? You got the dreaded Lurgy.
I had the Lurgy, yeah. So I had to stay off about 6 days. So I had my very lovely assistant who worked for a few days, but I just felt I hadn't had the impetus to drive
the right
it, so I just thought we'd extend it a
yeah.
bit longer. Yeah.
And what follows on from this exhibition? Have you got something else coming
Yeah,
up?
There's just a mixed exhibition now. So at the moment we've got Beatrice Forshall on the wall. We've got a local artist called Camilla Clark. I've got my top seller, who's Jane Clapworthy, here. And, you know, after next Wednesday we'll have a few other artists as well. We usually run a series of mixed exhibitions,
yeah.
interspersed with solos, but we've recently had a James Stewart solo, and I might have another James one in maybe the autumn, I think.
I was going to say, do you have a favourite local artist, or are you not allowed a favourite?
I'm allowed
a favourite. Who's your favourite local? Let's stick with local, because then that narrows
well,
it down.
Well, probably the one I've shown the longest and had most success with, which is probably James Stewart.
Yeah.
I mean, it's usually a very good show when he gets his work together. It's popular, it's good, it's not overpriced. He's
yeah.
a bit grumpy, but we like him really.
He's nice, really.
He's nice, really.
Now, what was I going to say? Oh, yes. Now, you also do some of the art fairs, don't you?
Yes, we've just done Fresh Art Fair in Cheltenham, which I've done for about 6 years.
Hats off to you. That's such hard work, isn't it?
Very hard work, yeah. And this year was a bit of a damp squib, unfortunately. But last year was absolutely stonkingly good.
Oh.
People had just been released from being locked up. And they like, came out with massive wallets going, yeah, let's buy some art. So that was really good, but wasn't quite like
but
that.
But they are really hard work. I mean, just the setting them up and the whole organisation of it, isn't it? I've done them a few years.
Have you?
And you also stand there, don't you, going, I'd really like a sandwich or something. I'm really hungry. Or I need a wee. And you're just stood there for hours and hours. Annie, this is really brief, but you are a whirlwind of arty incredibleness. Thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, pleasure.
That's it. And back to you in the studio, well, Julie.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, you put the coffee, you put the beans up in the grinder. You put the beans, goddammit, in the grinder. You put the beans in the grinder. You pop the beans up inside the grinder. You grind it up, and then you put a little grounds in the filter. You put the coffee down in the filter, and then you put the filter up in the top of the coffee maker. Gotta get that drip, gotta drip, 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 a drip, a drip, a drip, drip, drip. Got to drip, a drip,
a drip, drip. Supporting our roving reporter Sarah Louise Connolly and Annie Bowie. Sensational stuff. Loved it. Loved it. And we will be back, the team, Kay Cole, in September, the first three Mondays of that month. We've got three shows lined up. So big thumbs up. Thank you to Chris for that. We're going to have some music. And then I'm going to be chatting with Martin Seeger about things that went on in Ashburton with the string quartet, Andy Williamson and the team, the people from, oh, Holland, America, France and Ashburton. All will be revealed. Should we have a little bit of the Vitamin string quartet? Oh, I love a bit of Vitamin, don't you, darling? This is 102.5 FM Sound Art Radio in the Dartington and Totnes locale. And if you're listening online, thank you so much, wherever you are. that was a bit of Bridgerton, actually, the Bitterman String Quartet, which brings us to the moment very nicely that we have a man, a lovely man, sat next to me on the sofa in Totnes. I'm broadcasting from home, yeah? He's called Martin Seeger. He's my husband. When you need a guest, you just go into the kitchen and go, "You're coming through, love." Here he is. He's just getting his slippers off. Ooh, those toes. Gorgeous. Martin Seeger, thank you so much for coming on the show. Welcome.
Hi there.
So, we had the absolute pleasure of being at the Ashburton Arts Centre last night.
Yes,
and I can tell
fantastic.
You, everybody, every single audience member got on their feet at the end of it. And they also, during the last performance, were, towards the end, obviously, crashing their feet to the ground to make as much noise to say how much pleasure.
It was extraordinary, wasn't it?
Yeah. Tell us all about this whole festival that happened in Ashburton.
I can't believe I missed it the last couple of years. It's been going for 3 years now. But it's every summer they do a chamber music festival, they call it, and it's a quartet they bring together, organised by the viola player David Yang from America. He comes across, rounds up three other fantastic musicians, and they played for 10 days. I mean, they turned up, and literally the day they arrived, I went along to their concert that they put on at someone's house. It was a beautiful cottage, Biggerton Cottage, and it was out in the garden, and beautiful weather, and they just played sight reading, basically. They picked up music, just played it. A couple of people gave them some new pieces to play. And then all week they've been doing concerts, more sort of in the evenings they've been doing the more sort of established composers. But the whole thing culminated on Saturday night at Ashburton St Andrew's Church, where they had the inaugural performance of Tom Vinieri's new piece. Now, he's the composer in residence at the festival. He's a local composer. He's originally from America, but I know he's been living here for a number of years. And he did a great piece, actually. It's been evolving over the last 3 years. He's adding a new movement each year. And it was celebrating America. So for the new part of it was a whole section dedicated to Leonard Bernstein. And he had another part based on the Beach Boys song, God Only Knows. And another section based on, what was it? Oh, it was on a beautiful gospel song, which came from a documentary about that awful Hurricane Harvey that happened in the States. But anyway, so the interesting thing about that was that Andy Williamson, who's the artistic director of Ashburton Arts, who's an incredibly busy man, he seems to do everything. I mean, you see him there when you arrive, buying your ticket, there he is on the desk, but he's actually organised everything.
The lights, the stage, the
live streaming, had cameras up all around.
He was climbing up on
ladders
on
and
pews.
Stuff.
Yeah, it was absolutely unbelievable. Crazy. That man, I don't know how he exists. I tell you, he is like Superman charged up.
But the incredible thing I was just going to say was how he came on with his saxophone to play with the quartet
for
the Tom Vinieri's piece. So that was really quite interesting, actually, to have a quartet, a string quartet, playing in the way a string quartet plays, though Tom came up with some interesting other ways of doing things, and then have a tenor sax playing on top. And he's such a great player, isn't
he's
Andy?
He's absolutely, really, I mean, absolutely sensational. Just the best, I would
Definitely.
Say, that I've
Excellent.
Heard, apart from obviously Bev Nolden, who is oh, also yeah. of oh, Jazz, yeah. who is also sensational. Now, I wanted to get to the nitty-gritty also about the night that your music, so you gave them your music, they'd never seen it before.
Never seen it before. Actually, I turned up with it, Andy, very kindly, when I first emailed about wanting to come to the festival, and I mentioned I was starting writing a new piece about the River Dart. And he said, oh, bring it along to the first gig. So I did. But it was a bit windy that day, and my music actually covered too many sheets of paper. So they said, actually, this is going to be a bit dangerous. We're not going to be able to play it. It's just going to blow off. So and it gave me a bit more time, actually. I wrote a new piece in the interim time. They had another house music, as they called it, session, actually in Ashburton itself. Someone very kindly gave the house over to a performance, and then it was in the garden, in their garden room. And, yeah, again, it was one of these nights where they informally sight-read stuff. So they did some of the classical composers and also did a bit of my new piece. And that was really very interesting. I mean, it was quite nerve-wracking. It's never been played before and they hadn't seen the music before. They just had to get on with it and just read it as it was and just to see how it goes. But it actually went very well. I was very pleased with it and they gave me some kind feedback and there we go. We'll see.
And unfortunately, I wasn't able to be there, but I did see a little clip of it and wondered if we could maybe get that up as well.
Okay, I'll go and find it.
So we'll get that clip up.
Are you going to play? What are you going to play? Tom's piece or?
I was going to play the Shostakovich.
Oh yeah, now that was extraordinary last night. So we're back to last night though. This is actually the final part of the festival. Yeah, I'll hand over to David Young.
Oh right, okay. We'll get the names of the violinists and get your piece as well, and that would be like a little taster of the festival for next year. That you have to put it in your diary to be there. We only just found out about it recently. I feel like I'm back there. So just a snippet, really, of a little piece that happened. I think, was that the Shostakovich piece?
Yes.
Yeah. Was. So absolutely exquisite playing. And because I did a video of it, I could see the faces of the audience members. And you just sort of got to step into their absolute sort of bliss moment of being present at the Ashburton Arts Centre. Now, Martin has got a little snippet of his music that played. And before I forget, thank you so much for allowing us to use your music on the monologue with Heather Jackson, Martin. That was really kind of, I thought it was really successful.
Yeah, that's actually a piece of music. It's part of this same quartet, actually, which is going to be the river theme. But I think it worked quite well, didn't it, with that character. Yeah, I think that was okay. Now, I'm not sure which one this is. Let's have a look. There were three little bits they did. Let's see. And they were sight reading it.
Did you feel really over the moon to have that played by them?
Well, it's extraordinary to hear it played properly. I mean, yeah, they were the odd duff notes. I mean, they were actually playing sight reading this actually rather difficult piece. It's easy to think that you're a great composer if you write something difficult, but of course that's not actually true. When you hear a quartet, which we heard a few over the week by someone like Mozart, his skill was actually writing things that someone can pick up and play straight away. But they did a fantastic job of it, amazingly, to actually be able to produce that. And the idea was it was meant to portray sunrise, so you're getting the kind of and building up into the sunrise. I think they caught that really well. Certainly went down well there, and yeah, I was really pleased. And it's given me a lot of ideas of what I'm going to be doing in the future with that piece of music.
Does it take you a long time to actually write a piece of music like that?
Oh, forever. It takes a very long time. I'm over it. Maybe not over editing, hopefully not, but I'm going back over it, trying different things and so on. And it really does help to hear it play properly on the instruments because, you know, we've got various different aids you can use these days. It's not just, as Mozart did, just write it straight down on the page. You can obviously, you've got the piano to play it on, you've got various computer programs and so on, but nothing beats the actual instruments. And they're so quirky, string instruments. I mean, the things they can do can be wonderful or can go awfully wrong if you write it wrong. So it's a really, really interesting exercise.
I was going to try and get the little bit of Andy Williamson.
Yeah, go on.
But I'm not quite sure.
It was the last one, wasn't it?
Yeah. Is it? Sorry, this is technical. that was, I think it's this one, isn't it? Oh, I don't know. No. We could be here all day. We've only got about 2 minutes left. So it might be that we can't find it. I think that's probably going to... I should have had it all lined up, but unfortunately, it's just literally last night that I did the film. Martin, thank you so much for coming on the programme to discuss the music, because I have to say, both of us, I mean, Martin got to see more of the programme than I did because I sort of double booked myself. But every time that I didn't attend, I mean, and you came back and told me about it, you absolutely said how thrilling. And I know the two that I was able to attend just felt like, I mean, it is a divine part of your brain and soul that attaches.
I think one of the great things about it, especially being in the Arts Centre, was being so close to them. You know, we were sat right up on the front pew with the cello player just right in front of us, like we could have touched his back if he reached out. And when he played his loud notes, did you feel it through the
100%.
You could actually feel it through the balls of your feet. You could actually feel it through the seat itself. It was extraordinary. And to be able to really see what they're up to, I could put on my glasses and just see actually what he was playing and so on. That's a really good experience. And it's really, you don't get that when you're in London or in these big cities.
Not really.
You get that locally. And that's
you
fantastic.
Do. And we're so lucky to live in this part of the world. So I just want to say a huge thanks to Andy Williamson for being the geezer, the great geezer he is. And also, just to all my guests today, I'd like to say thank you to Martin Seeger, to Sarah Louise Connolly for being our roving reporter, to Annie Bowie for coming on the programme and giving us the sensation, to the fabulous, incredibly talented Heather Jackson, actor, on stage, My Fair Lady. Do go to that show at the Coliseum. It sounds brilliant. We have to go. So also, obviously, because it's the final one for this little section that we've been doing, just thank you to all our lovely listeners on Sound Art Radio. Don't go away, because Alex Marsh is coming up. Tracy's on holiday. So Alex, I believe, is taking the next hour with you lot. So do hang on to your hats. It's going to be a great show. As I say, thank you so much to Chris and Lucinda for putting up with us, really. Let's go out with a little bit of, I don't know. I haven't got a clue, actually. The Rain in Spain?
The Rain in Spain. That's the one. Stays mainly... in the plane.
Again. Oh, no.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plane.